What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hindsightless, the super sporadic podcast where I talk about life, role-playing games, or whatever else might be running around inside of my head. But mostly role-playing games, because they're the best place to fight wet dream demons. How is everybody doing? It has been a minute. I hope everybody had a happy new year and that their 2023 is off to a good start. Yeah, man. Anchor is just a mess. You know, I started recording this a couple days ago. And then when I went back, I was looking at, I record on my phone. I went to my laptop and to the Anchor browser to look. And I noticed that when I'm recording it onto my phone, it's recording it onto an episode that says on my phone has not been published yet, which is my Happy New Year episode, episode 412, which has been published. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with Anchor. It seems like the app and the web browser version are not really communicating with each other all that well, but who cares? Who cares? I'm back. We're here. And today we're going to talk about the nature of evil. But we're also going to talk about switching characters. But we are going to talk about the nature of evil based on some of the stuff that happened in my Wrath of the Righteous campaign. We've played two sessions since last we spoke, because luckily, thankfully, happily, we actually played 2 weeks in a row, and it was awesome. And on the second week, the whole crew was there for the all together for the first time, and I don't remember how long, but that was really cool. We even played an extra long session. But anyway, we'll get to that. The reason we want to talk about evil today is, like I said, a thing that happened in my campaign that Jason will talk about. But I've also been, you know, reading, listening to, watching this new podcast / YouTube channel called Esoterica. And he's a doctor. I'm not sure what his PhD is in, but he can read a bunch of ancient languages. And this dude reads ancient texts from like 2,000-3,000 years ago, pre-Christian ancient texts, up to, you know, first century Common Era stuff, all sorts of these ancient texts that are incredibly important and incredibly interesting. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. But first off, we're going to talk about switching characters, because I think Jason touches on that first. But first up, we have Jules talking about it, because we don't hear from Jules very often. So, Jules, nice to have you on the show again. What do you got to say?
Hey, Joey, it's Jules. Congrats on once again proving how awesome a Dungeon Master you are, both on the podcast and outside of the podcast. And so in the podcast, when you're talking about how, you know, one of your players doesn't like the character and isn't having fun, and you just think that absolutely life is too short and they should change, I totally agree with you. 100 trillion percent agree with you. To the point where one of my players has actually switched twice in game. And the second time switched back to the original character. So he chose a wizard fairly early on, just a, I think, plain old human wizard, you know, right from level one, and was kind of getting bored playing him because, you know, wizards at the start, they don't really have a lot of tricks, and it sort of gets a little bit repetitive. Also, there was somebody else who could cast, and they really just needed somebody to back up on melee with a little bit of extra flavor, right? So he is a dungeon master and just kind of looked at the party dynamics and saw that they were struggling, and it was only three of them at the time, and just really wanted to switch because he thought it would A, be more fun for himself, and B, be more fun for the group. So, and I fully supported that. So he turned himself into a Triton Paladin for a while, and that was really fun, and he had a blast being able to do all of the things that they can do, all the extra abilities and things. And then recently he was like, hey, we've got, like, you know, five players again. The party dynamic is pretty spread, actually. But there's not a lot of casting anymore. We've got, like, a few rogues and a cleric and, you know. But there's not a lot of just, like, big old powerful spell casting or, like, tricksy spell casting. And he was like, I had this thought. I kind of thought I might want to go back to my original character. Would that be okay? And I was like, yeah, your character still exists in the world, and here's what it's been up to. And he was really surprised to hear that not only had I been like, yeah, of course you can go back to your original character, but his original character had actually been up to stuff. And I think that's an underutilized resource for DMs, right? Like, my player gave me that beautiful, beautiful resource. It was a person in the world that was making things happen, that I knew where they were, I knew what their motivations were, I knew what they might want to get up to. It's just like a perfect resource, you know? So he came fully prepared. He worked with me a little bit on some of the backstory elements of what he might have been up to in that time and what, you know, but he pretty much was like, yeah, to my plan, my thoughts in terms of what he had been doing. So he actually came back with a bunch of money and a bunch of court favor. So, like, good for him, I guess. And with, you know, new motivations as to why he might be coming back to Saltmarsh in the first place, rather than just, like, random character arrives again, you know. He's actually got a reason for being there again, which, you know, is useful and good. So, yeah, I would encourage more DMs to play around with that space, and I mean, your players are going to create it for you, so thanks for the awesome NPC. Anyway, Joey, keep being awesome. I'm loving playing Pathfinder with you. I just think you're the perfect person to DM Wrath of the Righteous. Your passion and how much you know about Pathfinder 1 really makes it, like, an easy, awesome, really stunningly beautiful experience. So thank you so much for all of your hard work and efforts there. I literally cannot think of a better DM that I've ever had. And I feel very lucky that you're my DM. Okay, bye.
You know, Jules, you said that my game was stunningly beautiful. And to that, I gotta say, takes one to know one. You know, I am just so lucky to have you in the game. I never thought that I would have somebody so cool, such a good gamer, such a good dungeon master from the other side of the world involved in my game. And, you know, I'm just so happy you're a part of it because you make the game so much better. And I just really appreciate that. And as far as switching characters goes, yeah, like, that shouldn't be a problem. I don't understand why it ever would be, especially in a situation where it's super easy just to swap out a character and put in a new character. Because it's the players at the table that should matter the most, not the what's going on in the game. It's the people around the table that should matter the most. Everything else can be worked around. And so, yeah, you know, like, in my younger days, there would have been a good chance that I would have killed Leandros off. You know, because when Woody came to talk to me, it was a super easy time to switch his character out. And so I just had one of the NPC wizards, a wizard named Aravashneel, show up before the party went in the dungeon and say, hey, Leandros, I need to talk to you. It's important. Let's go back to camp. It's about your parents. Let's talk. And so the party was like, okay, cool. And that Leandros went off. And so when Woody and I were talking about it, we briefly toyed with the idea that it would be funny that instead of Aravashneel, if it was just a shape-changing demon who just murdered the crap out of Leandros. But, you know, it's just way cooler to have Leandros now as an NPC. He's off in the background, living the world, just like in your case. You know, and if for whatever reason, if Woody gets a desire to switch back, he'll be able to if we can make it work out. You know, it's not a problem. It's really easy to do. And I don't get why Dungeon Masters wouldn't do it. You know, if we were in a situation where it would have been hard to bring in a new character, I would have been like, yeah, cool, let's do it. Just give me a session or two and we can figure it out. Something like that, you know. But I'd never be like, nah, no, you're stuck playing what you're playing. Because that's silly, man. So, I don't know. But yeah, I really appreciate your message, Jules. It's been a while, like I said, since we've heard from you on this show. And I'm really happy. Again, you're an awesome Dungeon Master. I've played a bunch of game with Jules, played a bunch of one-on-one games with Jules, and those have all been amazing too. As many of you know, if you listen to the Jules from NZ show, her and I have been running through the Nerds Adventure, you know, the Candy Nerds. They put out a bunch of little one-on-one D&D adventures, and we've been running through those. Those have been a blast. Jules and I also played a session or two of Call of Cthulhu one-on-one, which was amazing. But yeah, dude, just thanks for being a part of the game. Thanks for being awesome. And thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. So let's get into see what Jason has to say. And let's talk about some evil. Evil.
Hey, Joe. Happy New Year's. As far as 45 being old, I mean, it is in Children of the Corn. And it is in that episode of Star Trek, the original series. And it is in Logan's Run. So in some places, 45 is old. But, you know, if you're a hobbit, it's not that old. So if you're a vampire, it's not that old, right? So, you know, I guess it's just, you know, if you're, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Had a lot of fun in Wrath of the Righteous. I have been in games where the DM would not let me change characters when I wasn't happy with the character I was playing. So I kind of feel Woody there where, you know, I appreciate that you let him change characters, and I like that there's, you know, a little bit of, can't talk, there's going to be a little bit of friction in the party, because he has slightly different beliefs, right, like not having a problem killing charmed people and stuff, so it's going to be an interesting game, which is really cool. Anyhow, take care of yourself. I had 2020, or 2022, I should say, you know, it wasn't the best, but it sure wasn't the worst. And I had a lot of fun gaming in 2022. Got to talk to a lot of fun people in the hobby space. And I hope in 2023 it'll be more of the same. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, you know, me too, dude. Like, 2022, as big of a pain in the ass as it was for me overall, I did get to hang out, play games, and talk to a bunch of amazing people. And so, like you, I hope 2023 has more of that to come. As far as the age goes, yeah, you know, old in Children of the Corn, that's old. You know, that's my rubric for what is old, is what Children of the Corn says, because that was a formative movie. I remember seeing that movie for the first time, spending the night at my buddy's house when we were young. They had, I think it was on Showtime, because I don't think they had HBO. We had HBO, but I think they had Showtime. And we stayed up way too late and watched Children of the Corn, and it scared the bejesus out of me. I mean, we were young, but it was awesome, and I love that movie. And everything it says is true and valid, so hooray. But, what Jason was talking about there, when he was talking about the new character and how that character doesn't have any compunctions with killing charmed creatures, let's talk about that. So what happened was, in the session, like I said, we've had two sessions since last we spoke. So this would have been two sessions ago, not last session, but the one before that. It was the introduction to Woody's character. Chester Autumnheart and his faithful companion, Jester Autumnheart, who is a Burmese mountain dog. And Chester is a halfling cavalier who rides said Burmese mountain dog. And it's adorable and deadly. So like we talked about, they ended up going into this room where there was a succubus who was making some more or less mind control characters do some nasty stuff. And in the ensuing battle, Chester killed two of the Crusaders while the other people in the party were either fighting the succubus or trying to knock out the Crusaders. Okay, no big deal. After that, when we all hopped on Discord, Jason, being his ever pot-stirring self, started throwing some friendly barbs over at Chester about how he's a murderer because he killed those two when they were charmed. I, as the neutral party, threw out the fact that previously in the adventure in the session before that one, when Woody wasn't there, the party had no compunctions with chopping off the head of a crazed attacker who I absolutely described as crazed. The party did detect evil on her and detected as she, this crazed individual did detect as evil and was spouting out some crazy stuff, but they captured, or they Randor ran up, gave her a big hug, and Haven came up and cut her head off without trying to see what was her deal at all. So I just said, hey, let's, you know, glass houses and all that. And then it got brought up. Jules mentioned that Haven did detect evil on the person whose head got cut off. And I said, yeah, she did detect as evil. But would a creature mind controlled by an evil creature to do evil actions, would they, even if they were good, would they still detect as good? That's the question, right? Just because something detects as evil, I don't know. That's some deep theological, cosmological D&D discussions right there. Would being mind controlled change your alignment? Probably. Who sets the alignment? Do the gods set the alignment? Does the universe set the alignment? If you do a bunch of evil deeds, even though you're not in control of yourself, do you then become evil? It's a question that I don't really have an answer to, which is why I was saying, hey, in a sense, Chester was being practical. It's just one of those things when it comes up in D&D. Had they detected evil on those Crusaders, would they have detected as evil? They didn't, because the Crusaders stood up right away and started attacking because they were being mind controlled. So it's just, that's why I love role-playing games, because you get to explore this kind of thing, this sort of moral quandaries, right? What does it mean to murder? If you run into a goblin cave and murder a bunch of goblin babies, is that murder, or are you just saving the world from future goblin murderers, you know? Does that change your alignment? Killing innocent creatures that haven't done anything yet. What is the nature of evil? It's awesome. However, being right in the middle of a big dungeon surrounded by a bunch of demons that know the party is there, that's not the most conducive time to have one of these moral discussions in character. So perhaps when they come out of the dungeon, they can hash that they can hash that stuff out. But as of right now, they are pretty busy. But yeah, last session, the party made a bunch of progress in Citadel Drezin. They cleared a bunch of the map. They met some stiff resistance there for a while. I actually took Haven down to exactly 0 HP, which in Pathfinder, 0 HP, you are still conscious and on your feet. But if you take a standard or a move action or even any sort of action pretty much at all, you automatically lose a hit point and fall unconscious and start bleeding out. So Haven gets dropped to 0 hit points, so still conscious, and ended up getting healed up back in the fight. And then the creature that did that, this half-orc ranger, whose favorite enemy is good-aligned outsiders, quite the archer, Randor ran over there, wrapped him up, and they murdered him. It's fairly typical. The thing is, though, right? Like, demons, pretty much all of them, are telepathic. So they're all communicating with each other as this is going down and has been going down. So, yeah, you know, the demons know what's up. But that's for a later time. That's for another discussion. But yeah, man, you know, one of the things, like I said, that I love about playing these role-playing games is these sort of philosophical questions that come up. I think they're great. They've been a part of the hobby since the hobby was a thing, and they'll stick around for as long as the hobby is a thing, because when you're playing these games, you're exploring worlds, you're not being yourself, these sorts of moral questions arise, and I think that's fantastic. That's why, you know, whenever people are like, I don't have politics in my game, it's blah, blah, blah. It's those are really boring games. If moral questions never come up in a game, I don't know, man. I guess you can run games like that where everything is just black or white and there is no shades of gray and everything. Those just aren't the kind of games I run. I like to run a game with nuance, you know, and nuance invokes what some people would call politics. But those are just people that aren't in touch with their emotions, really, for the most part. Like, seriously, man. Anyway, but I'm not done. I want to talk more about weird demons and stuff in this next segment. So Jason, thanks for the call, dude. I love these kinds of discussions. If, though, I will add this as a caveat, if Chester Autumnheart is guilty of murder for killing those mind-controlled crusaders, then Randor and Haven are also guilty of murder. So just, you know, keep that in mind. Anyway, dude, let's talk about cool stuff. More cool stuff. Okay, so like I said at the start of the show, I've been diving deep into this YouTube channel called Esoterica, where it's this dude who reads ancient scrolls. He doesn't read them during the episodes, but he does deep dives, scholarly investigations into ancient texts. And I just think that's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. You know, recently I came to the realization of listening to his episodes that the whole idea for a bunch of demons, like succubi, for instance, which is pretty fun because we've had a lot of succubi in the recent Wrath of the Righteous campaign. That whole mythology, the whole idea of the succubus came from wet dreams. Seriously, it came from wet dreams. If you read these ancient scrolls, they talk all about how the demons seduce young men at night, causing nocturnal emissions. So it's either demons or biology. I don't know, man. One of the two. But it's just crazy to think that something like that spawned thousands of years ago, literal thousands of years ago, millennia ago, are still around. That the idea of the succubus, we're fighting a bunch of succubi right now. And it's just crazy to me that this stuff has stuck around for so long, and I think that's amazing. And these little fragments you find from, you know, the first century of the Common Era, from, you know, 100 years, 100 BC, back all the way to, you know, early Sumeria and earlier. It's just, it's amazing that there is anything left from our ancient past. But there is, and we have it, and there are people out there that read it and study it, and it's great. Like, the history of how religions came to be religions fascinates me. It is absolutely fascinating. And I think it's important to understand that stuff, because, you know, I don't talk about it much on this show. And a lot of people that listen to me might be surprised, but I'm a fairly spiritual person. I was raised in a Christian household. I was baptized Catholic as a young babe. And one of the first things my dad said to my mom afterwards was, "Get him out of that dress." Because you wear the little christening gown. And my dad was a weird dude. But I digress. And religion, more specifically, Christianity, has been a part of my life for as long as I've been alive. I graduated from a Christian university, Seattle University. It's a Jesuit institution. I had to take religious classes, which I knocked out of the park. I've studied religion for a long time now, on just independently reading. I've read the Bible multiple times. I've read treatises on the Bible, how it came to be, all kinds of stuff. And I love it, and I find it fascinating. And I think it gives a very deep, rich, full understanding of the meaning of some of the stuff you come across in the Bible, because the Bible's weird. The Bible is a weird book. It's brutal. It's got magic in it. There are wizards. You know, if you are a person, and no shame upon you if you are, but if you are a person that the Bible is the unadulterated word of God, then there used to be wizards in the world that could perform magic. There used to be other gods in the world. There could still be. And it's crazy. And I love it. And yeah, man, just the whole nature of demonology and evil, and watching it, these ideas be tussled with by people 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It's amazing that we as a species have records that go back that far, and that these sorts of questions haven't gone away. You know, I think that's awesome. We are an interesting species for sure. Humanity is an interesting species with just a mind-boggling, deep, ancient past, hundreds of thousands of years. And those dates keep getting pushed back farther and farther and farther. You know, we'd have no way of knowing if, say, a million years ago, there was a super advanced civilization on planet Earth with cities and everything. We wouldn't know. There'd be no sign of it at all. You couldn't tell if there was or wasn't. I forget the name of that. Some hypothesis that talks about that. There are ways you could look for it by, like, examining the minerals and looking for different sort of element deposits that are out of whack with what should be. But seriously, man, you would not know. And I think that's amazing, which is why when people say, no, there was no ancient civilization, there was never no advanced civilization, it's like, well, you can't say that with any sort of sense of certainty. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence that point to, yeah, there probably was. Look into tube drills in ancient Egypt, just for fun. But yeah, man, I love it. This channel has really, really piqued my interest. And, you know, this dude, he's fun. He actually, when he's talking about some of this stuff, he brings up D&D every now and then. He'll talk about alignments sometimes, or, you know, when he was talking, he was recently talking about Pazuzu and Lamash too, and those are both gods that feature in Pathfinder. And it's just awesome, man. He talked about how Pazuzu got done dirty by the movie The Exorcist, because before, in ancient times, Pazuzu was a wind demon, but Pazuzu was also concerned with the health of mothers and newborn babies. And then Exorcist came out and Pazuzu possessed little Reagan, and now everybody hates on Pazuzu. So I don't know. It's just fascinating, man. The way some things are viewed now as demons and evil that weren't back then. I don't know. Our past is the best thing we have as a human species. And I think it's fantastic. I love it. And I hope that you all do too, because we are an awesome species. So after that ramble, let me just get out of here. Well, that got weird. Man, it's not a surprise. It's the weather today here has been pretty rugged. Sideways rain. It's been dark since about 2 o'clock this afternoon, man. The sun never showed up today. Just wind and crazy rain and blackness. So that's what you get. Yeah, what else is going on? I've spent, other than checking out those Esoterica videos, I spent the last day and a half or so putting together a new character for a new game that I've never played before, which is After the Bomb. It's a Palladium game where you play as... It's sort of a... Palladium is a company who put out the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, and this game was originally like... almost like a supplement to that. So basically the same idea. It's a post-apocalyptic mutated animals, and it seems excuse me, like an awesome setting. I'm very excited. Rolled up my character totally randomly. I am a rabbit who's very good at like fixing stuff. Excuse me, got some combat skill. He's pretty awesome. I'm excited to play my rabbit. I haven't come up with a name yet. Jules and I were talking about it, and she came up with the name Lucky Berry. Kind of a nod to, because I mentioned how I might go and reread Watership Down, and I mentioned how in Watership Down, the smart rabbit's name is Blackberry, which I believe is where the company Blackberry, the electronic company, got their name from. And so she suggested Lucky Berry, because like the Lucky Rabbit's Foot and Blackberry. So maybe that's his name. I don't know, but I really enjoy the process of putting together a Palladium character. The book layout is a little brutal. But it's an old game, and they didn't know much about layout back in the day, apparently. Surprisingly, though, the PDF actually works really well on my phone, which I did not expect in the least bit. So that was a really pleasant experience. Except there are a few pages in the PDF that will crash the books, the app I use to read PDFs. It'll crash it when it hits that page, and it's not like it'll do it after a certain amount of time, but like, so for instance, page 50, it'll crash. If I go to page 50 and try and have my phone read it, boom, the whole app shuts down and restarts. Just page 50 though. Page 51 and on is fine. Page 49 and earlier, fine. And then I think there's a couple others in there too. So that's kind of weird, but you know, what are you going to do? At least for the most part, it works. And then just right now, I reloaded up onto my phone the rulebook for Low Fantasy Gaming, man. I listened to Jason's latest episode of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and he had Hobbs on, and Hobbs was talking about low fantasy gaming and got me kind of pumped on it because I was really stoked on that game for a little bit. And then I kind of dropped off of it. So I don't know. I want to revisit it. I want to revisit low fantasy gaming. So I'm excited about doing that. And then, yeah, I think that's it, man. You know, I haven't been putting out as many episodes, and I, you know, that's all right. That's all right. I mean, honestly, if we're being real with ourselves, yeah, Anchor's not as fun anymore as it used to be, is it? It's not quite as fun as it used to be. The community is not as lively, but, you know, I still enjoy doing it, and I still plan on doing it. And just putting out stuff when I got some stuff to say. So that's what you got here today. And I rhymed, hooray. Again. Anyway, everybody, I hope you're doing well out there. Happy 2023. And yeah, I hope you're taking care of yourself and taking care of somebody else too. So until next time, peace out. Okay, before I go, I just had to say that I was getting a link for that Esoterica YouTube channel to put in the show notes, and I actually watched one of the videos for the first time, and I had no idea this dude had such an amazing beard. Bald with a badass beard. I love this guy even more than I already did. Okay, peace out.